This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 78. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcaster is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's really simple. It's a book focused on everything to do with fantasy books. Epic fantasy, urban fantasy, swords and sorcery. If you like it and you want to hear about it, we bring you the best and brightest of fantasy authors, fantasy book cover designers, fantasy audiobook narrators. We bring them all to you here from the fantasy book world, just so you can check out what's going on and maybe find your next favorite book. As always, I start off each episode with my own author update. I just got back from the very awesome 20 Books Conference in Las Vegas. It's where I go every year to kind of recharge my writing and creative batteries, and I certainly did that. I was in attendance with about 1,400 amazing authors and creative people of a variety of types. We got to sit down and chat. There's a bunch of friends that I've made at this conference that I only see once a year at this conference, so it's kind of a great time to catch up with them as well. It was just awesome. I'm also finished writing the first draft of book two in the urban fantasy series I'm writing, The Huntress Clan Saga. I am actually going to be starting editing on that, and we'll have it off to the beta readers so that they can let me know what they think before it gets ready for final rewrites and final editing. And that is planning on coming out just after the first of the year, because book one is coming out in just a couple of weeks. Coming out at the end of November, on November 26th is the release date, Huntress Initiate, book one in that series. I'll be doing some announcements and some live readings of selected chapters or selected passages from the book. And if you want to find out more about that, come over and check out my Fun Fantasy Readers Facebook group. Come on by, search for that, and then join the group. I'd love to have you in there, and you can check out some of the videos that I'll be putting up in the coming weeks. As always, if you want more information on what I'm up to, you can visit my fan group, as I just said, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or on my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and there's a contact form there, so please catch up with me. On today's show, we interview Kendre Meeks. Kendre was deported from the American Midwest after graduating college and held against her will since in California. She also really hates sarcasm. Kendre's a funny person, funny author. She was first published in 2011, putting out a dozen romance and science fiction titles. Then in 2017, she decided to return to her first love, urban fantasy. She is the founder of the Bay Area Allied Indie Authors Group. She also has been featured as a speaker on a number of conference and industry panels on topics ranging from fan fiction to audiobooks to serialized fiction. She enjoys twisting the extant into the exceptional and often basing her work on historical themes, legendary folk tales, and mythology. Check out my chat with Kendre. It was a lot of fun. She's actually a friend of mine, and it was fun just kind of chatting with her about her books, and you get to join in on that, so check it out. Kendre, it's great to have you here on the program today. Welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast.
I am so delighted to be here. I've been a listener for a while, and I'm having a flushing moment to be a guest.
Oh, well, it's awesome to have you here. And you and I have known each other for a while as authors. We work together as far as, you know, kind of sharing our miseries as authors, as it were. I'm really excited to finally get you on the show.
Yeah, and likewise excited to be here.
So why don't you start off by introducing yourself to our audience? Tell us a little bit about who you are and maybe why you decided that this writing thing was for you.
Yeah. So hi, audience. It's Kendre Meeks. Some people ask me how you pronounce that, Kendre. I am a writer who specializes in taking fairy tales and translating them into urban fantasy and science fiction platforms. I got started in writing, really seriously started in writing around 2010, and sort of rose up with the first wave of self-publishing in around 2011 and have been riding the indie wave ever since.
It's a lot of fun to read your books. And while I haven't read, because I know you write under some different pen names, but the Kendre stories, especially the Red Hood Chronicles, are just fun. I don't know any other way to describe them. And I think one of the things that makes it so much fun for me, and I'll be curious what your take is on this, is that it's a familiar storyline in the sense that we all know Little Red Riding Hood. But I think one of the things that makes taking fairy tales and adapting them to urban fantasy is we know the basic story, and so we expect certain things, but you get the opportunity to turn that on its head and kind of build your own mythos around it. You really did that with the Red Hood Chronicles for sure.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say. And I agree. When I was choosing what I was going to be working on next, when I developed this new pen name a couple of years ago, I was looking at a few different ways to go. They were all in the general realm of fantasy and science fiction. So I knew that. But I kept looking at what is it that has really stuck with me through the years? What is it that I love, that I keep coming back to time? What's timeless in my life? And I've always loved fairy tales. So when I was choosing which fairy tale to do, I wanted one that was very common. There are, if not thousands, there are hundreds, but I'm sure there are thousands of fairy tales. There actually is a classification system for fairy tales that sort of sorts them into about 100 different classifications. But, you know, you can reinterpret those and create something new each time. But Red Riding Hood was one that has really stood out, where I think a lot of people, at least people from the Western world, are very familiar with it generally. And it was something that I thought was secure enough that people would be familiar, but still had enough leeway and hadn't been overinterpreted so that people wouldn't come in knowing exactly what to expect. So yeah, that was, it was fun to do a sort of a jam session on Red Riding Hood.
It's like I said, it's just a lot of fun. I have enjoyed reading them. You know, Jerry is such a fun character. You know, she's got that angst and she's rebelling, you know, which is hence the title of the first book, The Reluctant Hood. But at the same time, she's kind of forced into accepting some of her responsibilities at the same time.
Yeah, Jerry, as I think a lot of authors will say this, that their main characters in some of their books, maybe not all, but they are sort of reflecting issues that they're either dealing with or have dealt with at some point in life. And Jerry is that way for me, because she too comes from a small town in Michigan, not my small town, but we're both from small town Michigan. And when you come from a small town where you're born into a made society, where your place in the society has already been sort of preset for you because of which family you're born into, and, you know, what your parents do for a living, and, you know, whose grandmother was mad at who 50 years ago. You sort of get this whole thing dumped on you as you grow up, and people have certain expectations for you. And Jerry's, you know, like me, she wanted to get out of that small town mentality, and she wanted to sort of figure out who she was outside of it, and sort of threw off the yoke of a lot of what was handed to her. And then figured out not all of it was too bad. So Jerry's arc through the book series, the five book series, well, and plus the prequel, so I guess six, is really about coming into that realization that she doesn't want to just be who she's supposed to be, that she's going to figure out who she is. But then she's going to figure out some of that stuff that she was actually pretty good. And of course, there's going to be a lot of jokes and danger and mayhem and adventure that goes along with that.
It's definitely there. And I have to laugh because I come from a small town in Maryland. And, you know, one of the things, it's also a college town. That's where my wife and I met. And even now, when we go back there to visit my family for holidays and stuff, it'll be, you know, I'll run into it. you know, in the grocery store or stopping to get gas, somebody will pull up at the pump next to me that I went to high school with, or, you know, a friend of the family or even a relative. And it's just kind of a family joke that dad always meets somebody he knows when we go back home. You know, that's just the way it is. I don't, you know, people who haven't grown up in a small town don't understand that, but.
Yeah. I think it's funny because it's true, right?
Yeah.
My stepmom also grew up in a small town in North Carolina, actually. But I remember one time when I was in high school, we went back there to visit her family. And as we got into town, the gas tank was running low. So we pulled into the gas station, and it happened to be the pump right across from us was her brother had pulled up at the same time. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like you can't turn around without smacking into somebody that you either know or don't want to see for some reason, or that you have some history with at some level.
But that's, I think that's, you know, what makes her journey, because she's, you know, she's gone to the big city, quote unquote, in the first book. And, you know, is so much a fish out of water in so many ways. But yet she's trying to force herself, you know, the square peg into the round hole. And as you said, she's coming to realize that being a square peg isn't all that bad at times. And she's, you know, begins to accept things. Now, I haven't finished all five books yet. Is the fifth book the last one? Have you completed this series, or is there more to come?
The fifth book is the last book, and it does release, I believe by the time this podcast is live on your stream, it will be out. It comes out on November 2nd. So yes, it will be signing off with that book. I am doing a spin-off series involving some of the characters that appear in later books. Actually, the one character is in the first book, Amy. So Amy and another character, they have an arc that develops towards the latter end of the Red Hood Chronicles series, and then they'll be spinning off their own series next year. Or I should say, I, as the author, will be spinning off their own series next year.
You know, Amy's a lot of fun, too. So I'm actually will look forward to that. Now, is that going to be a variation of a fairy tale story as well?
Well, it is and it isn't, right? Because it's still going to exist in the world where Red Riding Hood exists, and or at least the Red Riding Hoods, because as you discover in the series, it's not a person, it's a whole society of people. The hoods in my books are their own type of creature, just like vampires or werewolves or anything like that. So yes, insofar as you will know if you've read the previous series that the hoods and the werewolves and the vampires are all out there. No, in that it will not be the retelling of a straight up fairy tale like my Red Hood series or my Cinderella series is.
That's a perfect segue to jump into your Cinderella series because, you know,
That was smooth, Jamie. That was smooth like silk there. There you go.
You know, I try. It's not always that smooth. People know that from listening to the show, but I mean, you've really, I think done a good job with kind of, the Cinderella matrix, with City of Cinders. And then, I think you've got a prequel out in that series as well. How many books are in the Cinderella matrix?
So currently there's only the prequel and the first book that are published.
Okay.
I do have outlines for books 2 and 3. So that's going to be, I guess, a trilogy plus, you would call it. It's a 3-book series with a prequel. I don't really have that at the top of my docket, but it is something I'm hoping to get to next year in my 2020 schedule. And yeah, that is also another riff on probably a more popular, or by popular, I mean a more well-known and well-recreated fairy tale, the Cinderella story. Because I think Cinderella is one of those few fairy tales that exist in some form in almost every major culture across the world. There's Chinese versions, Indian versions, West European versions, Middle Eastern versions, African versions. You know, it's the poor girl who is good at heart, tormented by her surroundings, whether that's her family or society or a monster of some sort, who then, because she is so kind and generous, is rewarded by being, I guess you would say, upgraded to a high place in society. And My Cinderella is a sort of a cyberpunk take on that story, but it has all the elements that you would expect to see in a traditional cyberpunk science fiction book. But it also at the same time tells that trope. I'm sure many of your listeners know the word trope. Uses that trope of the Cinderella character, who is in some way disadvantaged. In my case, it's not necessarily by money; it's by recognition and independence that she's disadvantaged, and working against her step family to sort of take back what is rightfully hers through her own hard work and you know, her generosity and her compassion for other people.
And knowing you, I'm sure there's no, you know, birds flying in and mice that clean the house and things like that, because, you know, that would just not fit what I know of you.
Well, there's no birds. There is a mouse. He doesn't clean. He's actually an Android device.
Oh, very cool. Well, I that looks like a lot of fun. You know, I had to touch on it because I knew it was out there. And you know, I'm curious, do you think you'll be adapting any other different fairy tale books? You've got that new spinoff series coming, but mm-hmm. have any other fairy tales piqued your interest enough that it's something you're thinking about down the road?
Actually, yes. I will be writing the spinoff series next year. But a series that I'll be working on next before that, for the first third or half of 2020, is going to be a series that is based around the Pied Piper of Hamelin fairy tale. So my Hamelin will be in Ohio, not in Germany. I've been to Germany, but I'm coming up in the Midwest. I'm very much more familiar with Ohio, so I decided to stick with what I know on that one. It's going to integrate. It's still going to be an urban fantasy, much like the Red Hood series was. And the Pied Piper will be a demon in this world. And the story is about the children that he kidnapped, what happened to them and what happens when they come back.
Oh, wow. That sounds really cool. Okay. Well, now I've got to wait for that one to come out too. You know, this is one of the things people always ask me, you know, where do you come up with story ideas? And I have to just kind of chuckle because I talk to so many authors who come up with so many amazing ideas. I never seem to run out of something to write about. It's just, there's stories all around us and there's ways to adapt to stories that everyone knows to something brand new and different. And, you know, the Pied Piper is a demon in Ohio is just one of those things that you can just kind of really wrap your brain around and get curious about.
Yeah. And it's not often that people find themselves curious about things in Ohio. So I'm looking to take advantage of that.
I'm curious about Ohio, at least for the next rest of this year, because my daughter's finishing up her senior year at college in Ohio. But I've learned a lot more about Ohio in the last 4 years than I ever thought I would before she decided that was her college of choice. So
I'm glad to hear that. I think Ohio is beautiful.
It's a lovely state, and the people there are great. And having grown up in a small town, I mean, it's got that small town feel to it. I think.
Yeah, and its cities are much more approachable than I feel a lot of West Coast cities. And I'm currently based in California, have been for about 20 years now. And when I go into a West Coast city, it just seems way too big to grasp. You know, San Francisco, LA, Seattle, they're wonderful places, but I don't ever feel like I can integrate into them. When I'm in Cincinnati, I'm in Columbus, even, you know, I'm in a smaller city like Akron, I feel like it's approachable. I feel like it can, you can groove with it a lot easier than, or at least that's been my experience. I'm sure experiences vary, but yeah, I'm really excited to actually be writing a book that's based in Ohio. And you might notice, Jamie, that Ohio is right next to Michigan, and the Red Hood Chronicles are based in Michigan, and it's not that far away. And yes, those two worlds are going to overlap at some point.
No, I actually do the same thing with stories. I try to occasionally write usually a small character or a side character into another story just to see if anybody notices. You know, they have the same name or something easily distinguishable about them, and they just kind of pass in the night with some of the main characters in the other storyline.
Don't you love how when your readers find that, they get that Easter egg and it's a little extra jolt for them when reading, it's like an inside joke with them.
Oh yeah, and I'll get these excited emails like, "Oh my gosh, I just realized who this was."
Yeah, that's so fun.
But that's awesome. I mean, and you're right. Ohio and Michigan are just like right next to each other. In fact, my daughter, who's based in Youngstown, a lot of the people that go to school with her, a significant number of them are from Michigan. That I guess they drive down and they come there to school to stay. So it's there are also a lot of people there from the Western Pennsylvania area too, just from based on where they are. But it's that Midwestern feel, right? And I know Youngstown, Cleveland, both have those features like you mentioned about the cities in Ohio, that it's just kind of homey. And they aren't as sprawling as the West Coast cities are. I'm always amazed at how spread out everything is in California and
the cities. Perhaps that's just a consequence of when they came up and developed into the large urban centers they are, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, over in the East, cities tend to be older. And I know that in terms of settlement, the West Coast is just as old as the East Coast. But it was a different culture. That big city culture didn't really exist in California until the early 20th century.
Right.
And whereas, out on the East Coast, you had big sprawling cities even in the 17th century. So... Or spread, not sprawling, rather, we should say, but big cities, big, urbanized centers.
And I think the closest, San Francisco is probably the closest to having a little bit of the feel of an East Coast city. But San Francisco was a port, an active seaport for many years, before it grew into the metropolis it is today.
Yeah, and still is, frankly. It still is a seaport. More so Oakland across the bay. But yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of cargo traffic that comes through this area. And San Francisco at the same time also set of a reset button there with that the 1912 earthquake and fires. So a lot of the city is only, 100 or so years old that was rebuilt after that. And the parts of the city that did survive from prior to that were still very recent to that era. So I think that's part of the reason why you get that different feeling in San Francisco than you do, say, down in L.A. that just seems to be a conglomerate of several urban centers that just sort of run together.
So when you get together with your readers in some way, do you you reach out to them, maybe it's online or maybe, other ways, how do you prefer to do that? Is there a given platform that people can communicate with you the best?
Yes, I am on Instagram and I am on Twitter, but they're not my favorites. Instagram I use mostly just to post pictures of my corgis. So if you're into corgis, follow me on Instagram. You'll get lots of pictures of corgis. I do send out the occasional tweet. It's not my favorite platform. I mostly use it to check out on news stories as they develop. So I'm more of a user of it as a reader than as a writer. But if you're on Facebook, that's where I do most of my engagement. I have a Facebook page. I also have a readers group that anybody can join. And I give previews. I give side views into things there. I post more corgi pictures if you're really, really into corgis. But that's been my main way. I also will occasionally do live events or I speak at conferences, particularly in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was just at a book club last night that had me in person to go over. They read Reluctant Hood, so I was there for them. And sat down and talked with them for about 45 minutes, which was just a blast. As you can tell, Jamie, I love talking.
I know. And that, I warned you when we got started that because we know each other and we're both kind of chatty people, this might run a little longer than my typical podcast. But, I'm okay with that because it's a podcast. It's about talking. So it's all good. And I have to agree with you. I've done a couple of book clubs and they're a lot of fun. The first one I did, I was kind of reluctant because, a lot of book clubs, at least the ones I've been to around here, are elderly ladies. And I wasn't expecting them to really enjoy my books, especially my urban fantasy stuff. But they dove right in and had really good questions and interest in the series that kind of caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I had that same experience last night. This book club has a wide range of ages of members. But there were a few members who were on the older side of that, I would say probably in their 60s at least. and they had never read an urban fantasy book before. And they said that they were really intrigued by the concept of these fantasy elements because they knew, you know, traditional fantasy, but played out in a modern setting. And it was wonderful to be the introduction to that whole genre to them. And I hope they go back now and read more.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I think the last one I did was like a ladies auxiliary for a local hospital. So it was like doctor's wives, you know, administrator's wives and stuff like that. And older doctor's wives. And
was the ones your emergency medical service?
Yes. Did they read? Yeah. So that's why they actually asked about that one, because they knew it was set sort of informally in the area. And they wanted to kind of hear about it and its origins. It was a lot of fun, but they weren't what I expected to be my typical audience, or what I know to be my typical audience based upon, you know, my Facebook demographics and stuff like that. So it was just kind of fun to just interact with them. And I brought books with me, and they bought a bunch of signed copies and stuff from additional books in the series that they hadn't read yet. And so it turned out to be super successful, but I think it's a lesson that, there are readers everywhere that we may not, you know, we shouldn't put ourselves in a box, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we do have a core audience, and that core audience shares certain characteristics, and thank God for that, because otherwise we wouldn't know who to advertise to. But I feel just like we ourselves are not, I assure you, Jamie, like me, we don't keep ourselves to one genre when we read. Likewise, other readers, a good reader loves a good story, and how that's presented, what genre that comes out in, isn't perhaps as important as the experience that it gives them.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you're right. I read a lot of different things. I enjoy thrillers. I enjoy, one of my favorite series in the world is Janet Ivanovich's Stephanie Plum books, which, you know, people probably say, you write urban fantasy and epic fantasy and science fiction. Why would you like the story of a female bail bondsman with romance elements? And I'm like, you know, read them. They're hilarious.
Exactly. Because they're good storytelling.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that that's, I think that, that people can get into any kind of genre if the story is engaging. I mean, and I think it's the characters that draw people in, and, I think that's one of the things you've nailed with Jerry. She's just an intriguing character. I constantly, as I was reading the first three books in the series, wanted to know more. Like, mm-hmm. I was always like, it was like peeling an onion. There was always another layer underneath that left me like, well, wait, why is she doing this? And so her core drives and things were never different from what they were in the beginning, but my view and understanding of them changed as the stories went along.
And I think that's true for her as a character as well, because she is pretty young when the book starts and even when the book ends. So she's sort of having that first, I think you're familiar with the new adult genre. So in some ways it is a new adult book as well. It's the character sort of coming into the world on her own for the first time, coming out of a, you know, closed society, small town upbringing, and for the first time in her life, really interacting with people that didn't grow up like she grew up and have different ideas. And she sort of has to reevaluate, why is it that I believe this? And why is it that I'm doing this? Is this really the right thing to do? So in that way, I think that's sort of a more universal thing that a lot of people can connect with Jerry on, is that whole, you know, figuring out not only who you are, but how other people are, and learning to respect that and then respect yourself as well.
Well, Kendra, I think we could probably keep talking for a while, and I definitely want to have you back on, especially as you, you write the next couple of series, maybe bring you back sometime in 2020 to talk about the new books that you have out. Where can people find you online? You talked about Facebook earlier. You have a website?
Of course. Who doesn't? yes.
I have to say, wait a minute. I have to say, you'd be surprised how many authors I talk to on the show don't have a website. They have like a Facebook page and that's it.
Okay. I will admit I have a website, but there's really not that much there. I'm not sold on the building up. Like I used to blog, right? once upon a time. And now I think blog is just the worst four-letter word in the English language. I hate blogging. So I try to do it as little as possible. But yes, you can find me at kendraymeeks.com. If you really want to interact with me, if you want to get a response from me, the best way is to either email me, and you can do that through the website, or find me on Facebook or Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Kendra Meeks, and Kendra is like Kendra with an I at the end. So Kendra Meeks. For all you writers out there, no, I am not related to Brian Meeks. I'm not that cool.
Few people are, I'd just like to say. So it's not your fault.
That is true. That's true. He's like the Fonz of the indie world.
Yeah, that's really well done. I'm going to have to mention to him you said that. That's awesome. That's a really good way to describe him. But anyway, Kendra, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great to have you. I'm looking forward to sharing the links to your stories and the links to your Facebook page and stuff with everybody that's listening to this. And I urge people to go out and check out the Red Hood Chronicles. It starts with a book called Reluctant Hood, and I think you will be very happy to pick up this series. Kendra, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Jamie. It was wonderful.
That will wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the entire Fantasy Focus community, both over on Facebook in the Fantasy Focus Facebook group and over at fantasy-focus.com, where you can find this podcast living over there. Just a podcast tab right there at the top of the page. You can click on that, find this episode. If you have a comment you'd like to leave or a question for our author this week, go ahead and do that. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for iOS, Android, and even by email. You can also make sure you get that so you don't miss any of the episodes, because we've got awesome authors already scheduled in the next few months. Our next episode actually features the amazing Ed White. You won't want to miss that. It was a lot of fun chatting with Ed, and you will get to hear that in the next episode. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book just for signing up for my newsletter while you're over there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget to keep your eyes open, folks. I tell you all the time, I say it at the end of every episode, but it's so true. You've got to keep your eyes open, because you don't know when you're going to miss it, because there's magic all around you.